Here I am at the microphone for Advent Hope again, speaking to you good folks in Ohio County and beyond. I had a wonderful Thanksgiving dinner yesterday. I hope that you did too. You know, I was originally going to come in on Wednesday and preempt the Thanksgiving holiday for just a day or so, but I came down with a cold, and you'll probably detect that in my voice, and maybe sometimes I'll even have to stop and give a little cough. But Lord willing, we'll get through the program today, and I hope that you receive a blessing from it. Talking about Thanksgiving, first of all, I want to remind you again about Celebrate Recovery. That meets Thursday evening at 6 o'clock at the Seventh-day Adventist Church. Love to have you come out there. We serve a meal, have some fun talk, and then we have a worship service at 6:30, and then by around 7:15 or so, we're out in the room, out in the main room, talking about our issues. It's all confidential. No one's going to spread your business in the street, but I invite you to come on out to Celebrate Recovery. There's at 6 o'clock at the Seventh-day Adventist Church out on Goshen Road. That's on the way to the dump, by the way, in case you don't know where Goshen Road is. It's easy to find. It's also called 273. But come on out Thursday evening, 6 o'clock. We have a wonderful group of people there from time to time. Now, we did get hit by when COVID hit. It kind of depleted our attendance somewhat. But come on out and join us on Thursday evening for Celebrate Recovery. Love to have you come there. And there's no cost, nothing, no obligation to you. We just do this as a ministry to people who are in need of help. All of us need help sometimes. Don't be ashamed to admit it. All of us need help. And so we invite you to come on out. Thanksgiving. You know, I kind of thought quite a bit about today's message, a Thanksgiving message. Now, as I speak here on Friday morning, Thanksgiving was yesterday, and I hope that you all had a good time, that you had fun and family and food and all the things that make Thanksgiving meaningful. But I like to think of it not just as Thanksgiving, but thanks living. Okay? Because what Scripture reminds us of time and time again is that we need to learn to be thankful all year long. And that's what the holiday of Thanksgiving is about, a reminder that we should be thankful all year long. Something happens to us in our minds and our hearts when we develop an attitude of gratitude, when we are thankful for even for the small things in life that we have. We become better people. We become more joyful people. We become people who are better to be around. And so I encourage you to develop a discipline of giving thanks, even for the little things in life. I'm going to share with you the words of a song by Alan Jackson, and it's called Here in the Real World, okay? And you tell me, let me know if you this resonates with you. Cowboys don't cry. Heroes don't die. Good always wins again and again, and love is a sweet dream that always comes true. Oh, if life were like the movies, I'd never be blue. But, he says, but here in the real world, it's not that easy at all. 'Cause when hearts get broken, it's real tears that fall. And darling, it's sad but true, but one thing I've learned from you is how the boy doesn't always get the girl here in the real world. I heard that song a number of times on my Alan Jackson album, and it struck me how sad but how true. Here in the imaginary world, we'd like everything to go wonderful. We'd like everything to always provide good health for us. We'd like to always be healthy. We'd like to be financially secure. We'd like to have our families all, you know, with us and living productive, good lives. A lot of things in the real world that remind us that these things don't always happen the way that we would like them to happen. You know, in the imaginary world, everything's wonderful, everything's going smoothly, and there's no challenges, there's no opposition, no mountains to climb. But here in the real world, we all face problems, don't we? We all got stuff going on in our lives, stuff that we didn't ask for, stuff that sometimes we bring on ourselves by our own irresponsible actions. That's true, too. But here in the real world, things happen that we aren't always pleasant, aren't always fun. Well, it was true in Bible times as well as it is today. In the real world, life sometimes can get stinky. But God's word reminds us that there's a way to approach living in the real world that can give joy in our hearts even in the midst of calamity, even while things get difficult sometimes. You and I know that we face stuff, we face difficulties, we face diagnosis at the doctor's office that we didn't want, we face our car breaking down, we face job loss, we face all kinds of things in the real world. Well, But Scripture reminds us, God's Word reminds us that we should always be thankful for all things. I'm going to share with you a couple of Scripture verses. Some of them may be familiar to you. It'll take me just a moment to find it. In 1 Thessalonians, take me just a minute here, chapter 5, in verse 18, well, I'll start with verse 16. It says, 1 Thessalonians 5:16, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Everything, give thanks. Everything, give thanks. Okay? And then you go a few chapters back to Philippians, and you find the Apostle Paul continuing on this theme. He says, and give me just a moment here. I have one of these Bibles that the pages tend to stick together sometimes. He says in Philippians 4, verse 6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Peace of God, prayer, supplication, with thanksgiving, he says. Thanksgiving. It's amazing how many times the Bible mentions the command, you can call it a command if you like, to give thanks to God, and how few of us actually follow that. It's the most commonly repeated phrase, or command, I should say, in the Bible, give thanks to God. Praise the Lord, trust in Him, give thanks to Him, realizing that it's God that gives us every good and pleasant gift that we enjoy. I'm almost a little troubled, but not surprised, when I watch, and I did some, watch some football on Thanksgiving, you know, eat a good meal, you want to relax now, you're sitting with your family, you're watching a football game, and they're talking about the Thanksgiving turkey and how much turkey we're going to get, and some of the athletes, they get to chomp down on a turkey bone, you know, and all that's okay, but no one ever mentions who to be thankful to on Thanksgiving. You see, Thanksgiving was designed to be a holiday when we come apart and we reflect upon the good things that God has done for us. I encourage my church members, as they sit around the table getting prepared for their feast, take a moment and go around the table and mention things that you are thankful for. We did that at my home yesterday. I'm talking to you on Friday, the day after Thanksgiving, but we did that. We sat around the table before we ate and before we had the blessing over the food. We expressed our thanksgiving to God for the bounty that He gives us in abundance. And so I encourage you to develop that as a habit, not just on Thanksgiving Day. Don't be thanksgivers, be thanks-livers. Live the spirit of thanksgiving all through the year. Because we find that when we give thanks to God, we find that He continues to bless us continually, abundantly, and we begin to see life from a perspective of, I am a blessed person. I have many things that God has provided for me. Even though I may not be rich, even though my health may not be what I wish it was, even though, you know, my kids may not be behaving the way that I wish they would, even though my family seems to be breaking up sometimes, even though, you know, and we could list all kinds of bad things that go on in our lives. But the fact of the matter is, we have a lot more good things and more good reasons to give thanks to God than the bad things that we often focus so much on. I'm going to turn to a few Psalms. The Psalms, you know, those were the hymns that they sang in Bible times, Old Testament Psalms. And it's incredible how often the very theme of the Psalms is giving thanks to God for all things. And one of my very favorite is Psalm 103. And I'm going to just spend a few moments in that, and then we may look at some other Psalms as time permits. This is the Psalm of David, and it begins like this. Bless the Lord, O my soul, all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord. You got that? Bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless the Lord. Give thanks to the Lord, in other words. Praise the Lord. Remember the Lord as the one who provides the very life itself. And he goes down and he lists a whole array of reasons why we can give thanks to God, why we can bless the Lord. He says, bless the Lord, O my soul, all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Forget not all His benefits. You catch that phrase? Don't forget His benefits. This is what happens to us many times in this life. we find ourselves facing all kinds of obstacles and disappointments and things that cause depression in our lives. We get shook up because of events that happen, and we tend to look at the cup as half empty rather than half full. We tend to look at all the negative, difficult things going on in our lives, and we forget that God gives us many benefits. And he goes down a list of his benefits. Forget not all his benefits. Now, when we think of God's benefits, you know, many of us think in terms of, well, money. Can God help me win a lottery? Can God help me get a huge raise on my paycheck? Can God help me with this? Can he fix all my diseases and cure me from all my afflictions? Well, he can, if he chooses to. But something about living the life of faith says we are to trust and love God, whatever the result of his work in us is. Okay? So let's list some of the benefits. Verse 3, Psalm 103, verse 3, he forgives all your iniquities and heals all your diseases. Well, wait a minute. I got sick. I went to the doctor. He gave me some medicine. I got healed. Who gave the doctor that ability, that knowledge to prescribe the right treatment for your sickness? When you went in for that knee surgery, that foot surgery, or that problem in your chest or in your head, was it really just the work of the physician that healed you so that you could get up and go home? Or is there something about the human body that God has created in the human body with a capacity to heal? Now, certainly physicians, the medical establishment, plays an important role in this. But it's incredible that given enough time, in many cases, the body heals itself because God has made the human body with a capacity for healing. And again, I'm suggesting if we're sick and need to go to a doctor, go to the doctor and follow his prescriptions. But when you think of the immense complexity of the human body, and sometimes it seems like doctors are just kind of playing a lot of guesswork in what medication to prescribe, and you know, but it's important that we understand that it's ultimately is God that's the healer of our sicknesses. And that's what I'm trying to get across to you. I'm not putting down doctors by any means. I have a doctor, and if I'm sick, you know, that's the place to go. But he forgives our iniquities and heals our diseases. David, as he wrote this psalm, was realizing that in the God that he worshiped, the God that he served, was the one who ultimately wrought healing and forgiveness. And many times, and I've read this in a book by a well-known physician named Paul Tournier, many times the sicknesses that we endure are a result of a guilty conscience, a result of depression over things that we've done that we haven't been able to forgive ourselves over. And so in that same verse where it says he forgives our iniquities, he also heals our diseases, and it makes a connection between our diseases and the guilt that we carry around because of our sins. Okay? When we have a clear conscience before God, when we know that we are forgiven, we know that we stand in Christ's righteousness before God, it's a wonderful therapeutic measure against disease and sickness. He redeems your life from destruction, crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. And David gets increasingly rhapsodic. Is that the right word? Rhapsody. Okay? He gets increasingly rhapsodic over God's benefits as he continues to pour out his praise, his thanksgiving to God. It redeems your life from destruction, crowns you with loving kindness and mercies, satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. There's many wonderful passages in this particular psalm, many wonderful passages that remind us that God is not one who has created us and then left us on our own. He's not an absentee father. He's not someone who's wandered off someplace in the universe and forgot all about us. But God is one who still is immersed in our daily lives. Even the moment-by-moment activities that we find ourselves involved in, God is there. God is real. God is there to help and to bring encouragement and hope. He goes on and describes the character of God. For instance, down in verse 8, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in mercy. He goes on and describes how God is not someone who's touchy, not someone who's going to fly off the handle every time we do something that displeases him. But God is one who delights in forgiveness. He's one who delights in seeing us in a relationship with him, and he enjoys us in that relationship. He will, verse 9, he will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. You know, again, on this idea of conscience, a bad conscience, and our physical health are so interrelated, more so than even many doctors understand. When we know that we have a good conscience, not because we've always been good, but because we know we've always been forgiven, that when we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. We know that when we have a good conscience, it impacts our health and tends towards good health. It helps us to be able to get up and face the day with a peaceful spirit, a spirit of joy. We see the sun come up in the morning. It's going to be a golden day with all of its wonderful opportunities. It gives us an attitude of how we live our lives from day to day, a joyful, peace-filled attitude. When we realize that we stand with our sins forgiven, we don't need to worry about them. We don't need to keep dragging them up. But we know that we stand before God righteous as Christ, because Christ stands in our place. All right? Not always strive with us, nor will he keep us angry forever. Oh, listen to this. Verse 11. Psalm 103, verse 11. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Wow. Okay. He talks in very superlative words here. Now, David, if you may remember, was a man after God's own heart. He did some pretty awful things in the course of his life. Now, most of us, when we think of sins that David committed, we think of, his affair with Bathsheba, which led to his having Bathsheba's husband, Uriah the Hittite, killed in battle so that he could take Bathsheba for himself. That was only one episode in the life of David. If you read through the life of David, he went to villages and slaughtered every man, woman, and child. He did a lot of horrendous things, at least by our standards today. And yet, he was still a man after God's own heart. He was still a man that God could use as the first great king. I say great king after Saul, but he was the first great king of Israel, and he was the one who represented God to the people. He was a man after God's own heart. And he could write this beautiful psalm and talk about God forgiving all his iniquities, forgiving all of his transgressions, all of his sins, and not having dealt with him according to his sins or punished him according to his iniquities. And yes, his sins and iniquities were great. But he feared the Lord. He had a faith in God who could forgive sin. And he could honestly say, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him. For he knows our frame, and he remembers we are dust. Okay? The point that David is making all through this beautiful psalm is that God is not someone to be afraid of, but that God is someone to be a friend of. God is not one who is exclusive, but one who desires to be inclusive, to save whosoever will. As many as desire to be saved for the kingdom of heaven, God is willing to save that person. Now, we have a choice to make, though. You know, obviously, God's not going to force his salvation on us, but he invites us. He invites us to come as we are. Don't have to make my life perfect first. Jesus says, come. If you're feeling the pangs of conscience, if you're feeling depression, if you're feeling a sense of lostness and separation from God, Jesus says, come, I'll give you a new life. I'll give you a new birth experience. I will enable you to live a Christian life. Oh, it may be a process. There will still always be struggles involved. But he says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Beautiful promise from our Lord. So when God issues that invitation, it's with a heart full of love and desire to be in a spiritual unity with you and to take your sins, and we all have them, and cast them into the depth of the sea, according to Micah chapter 7. Okay? So not dealt with us according to our sins or punished us according to our iniquities. As far as the east is from the west, so has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him. He knows our frame. He remembers we are dust. Well, it's a beautiful psalm, and I encourage you to read it meditatively. You know, sometimes it's nice to just sit on a couch by yourself someplace, have your Bible open on your lap, and read a psalm like Psalm 103. It'll give you a new perspective on God. Every time you read it, there's something new that you will glean from it, and something that will cause you to appreciate and to love your Heavenly Father ever the more. Well, that's not the only psalm that's filled with good news. As I read towards the latter part of Psalms, I can go to the very next chapter, Psalm 104. Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord, my God, you are very great. You are clothed. Okay. And he goes on and on. And the various Psalms, especially as you get towards the end of the Psalms, Psalm 105. O give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the people. Sing to him. Sing psalms to him. Talk of all his wondrous works. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those rejoice who seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face evermore. Remember his marvelous works which he has done, his wonders, and the judgments of his mouth. Okay? Glorying in God. And sharing, notice it talked about talking of all his wondrous works. Okay? Psalm 106. Praise the Lord. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Okay, we're going on. Psalm 107. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Here again, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. One of the songs we sing on occasion in my church is Redeemed How I Love to Proclaim It, Redeemed by the Blood of the Lamb. And I'll make that little comment at the beginning of it. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Don't be afraid to express to other people how wonderful it is that you are one of the redeemed of the Lord, that you are one of those who have taken advantage of the provision that he has provided through Jesus for your salvation. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Speak up. Don't be shy. Don't be embarrassed. Psalm 108, another psalm of David. O God, my heart is steadfast. I will sing and give praise, even with my glory. Awake, lute and harp. I will wake in the dawn. I will praise you, O Lord, among the peoples. I will sing praises to you among the nations. For your mercy is great above all the heavens, and your truth reaches to the clouds. I didn't used to appreciate the psalm as I do these days. As I recognize the psalms were continued poems about how good God is to us and how we need to acknowledge that from time to time. Something happens to us when we acknowledge the goodness of God, when we can say, in spite of what's going on in your life right now, and again, we all carry stuff around, we all got to deal with stuff, but as bad as that can be, we have a God who's the Lord of the universe and who loves to hear from us and loves to hear our praise and our thanksgivings. Psalm 111, praise the Lord. I will praise the Lord with all my whole heart. Okay, Psalm 112, praise the Lord. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who delights greatly in his commandments. Psalm 113, praise the Lord. Praise, O servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Psalm 117, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles. Laud him, all you peoples. For his merciful kindness is great toward us, and the truth of the Lord endures forever. Psalm 118, O give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His mercy endures forever. Well, it could go on and on and on throughout the remainder of the Psalms, because most of them begin with the phrase, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, give thanks to the Lord. And it continually reminds us that it's needful for us to be thankful for all the things that God has given us. Now, I'm going to skip over a number of chapters in Psalms. We're going to head down toward the end of it now, okay? I'll just kind of randomly open to Psalm 134. Behold, bless the Lord, all you servants of the Lord, who by night stand in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary. Bless the Lord who made heaven and earth. Bless you from Zion. Okay? Well, this was the heart and the driving force in David, the songwriter, the sweet songwriter of Israel. Again, he made his mistakes, but he was a man after God's own heart, because even in the midst of these mistakes, recognizing his need for forgiveness, recognizing that it's God who provides all of the benefits that we enjoy, it's our Heavenly Father who cares for us, David could write these beautiful, beautiful Psalms. And then, but not only David, but his other songwriters as well. Many of the Psalms, of course, are written by David, directly by David, and some by the songwriters, some by the leaders of the choir in the temple service. Psalm 136, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the God of gods, for his mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his mercy endures forever." And it goes on and on and on. Thankfulness. The topic of thankfulness. Now, is God some kind of a megamaniac that just wants to have us crawling around on our faces, thanking him, thanking him, thanking him? It's not that, really, because God expresses his words of love to us as well. In fact, there's a verse in, I think it's the Old Testament prophet Zephaniah, that says he will rejoice over you in singing. So it's not just that we're praising God all the time, but God praises us at times as well. Remember how he was bragging about his servant Job there in the first chapter of Job. "Oh, have you seen my servant Job? How wonderful, how faithful he is, what a good person he is." And that's kind of where the trials of Job began, as God blesses his servant Job because of his faithfulness. We come towards the end of Psalms. I'm going to turn a few more pages here. Well, Psalm 144, "Blessed be the Lord, my rock, who trains my hands for war, my fingers for battle. Blessed be the Lord." Psalm 146, "Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. While I live, I will praise the Lord. I will sing praises to my God." Psalm 147, "Praise the Lord, for it is good to sing praises to our God, for it is pleasant, and praise is beautiful." Ah, like the sound of that. It's pleasant. Praise is beautiful. Doesn't it do our hearts good to praise, to affirm, to give words of affirmation, not just to God, but to other people in our lives? How often have we scolded our children? How often have we spoken negative tones to those who are nearest to us? Isn't it good to express how thankful we are for those who are in our lives, for the impact they make upon our lives? Isn't it good to say good things to people rather than the negative things that we're often tempted to say? And often the things that we say negative towards other people are simply reflections of things that we don't like in our own lives, okay? So it's good to give affirmation. It's good to give not mindless, suck-up kind of platitudes and things, but honest, affirming praise to people. Not flattery, but praise to people for the good things they have. I'm going to close our talk with the psalm that concludes the book of Psalms, Psalm 150. "Praise the Lord, praise God in his sanctuary, praise him in his mighty firmament, praise him for his mighty acts, praise him according to excellent greatness, praise him with the sound of the trumpet, praise him with the lute and the harp, praise him with the timbrel and dance, praise him with string instruments and flutes, praise him with loud cymbals, praise him with clashing cymbals. Let everything," listen to this, "let everything that has breath praise the Lord." And then he concludes, "Praise the Lord." You see, there's something about developing this attitude of thanks living, not just Thanksgiving, but thanks living, which is Thanksgiving every day of the year, reminding ourselves and reminding those within our sphere of influence that we are not alone in this universe, that there is someone who loves us, someone who cares for us, reminding us that God is good all the time, and that all the time God is good. And this is what the Psalms do for us. As we reflect upon the writings of the Psalms, and we imagine ourselves to be among the choir that sings these songs at the worship services, we're reminded that, yeah, life may stink sometimes, but God is always good. God's been good to us. He's brought us this far on life's journey. He's provided for us this far, however long your life's journey may be. But God is always good to us, and God has a plan for us, and God desires for us to be saved, for us to be with him in his kingdom. And we look forward to that glorious day. So again, I hope you had a good Thanksgiving. I hope that you remember to be thankful and to remember the one to whom to be thankful to. Okay? Well, God bless you. I hope that you've received a spiritual blessing from today's program. And we'll be talking to you next time. God bless you. Have a wonderful day.